You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
As usual, we kick off with how the markets have been performing throughout the day. It's been an interesting day following the events of yesterday. I'm joined on the line by Senior Market Analyst at XNS, Terence Hove, to take a look at some of the market movements. Good evening, Terence. Lovely to speak to you again. Let's start with the Nikkei. Let's start with Asian markets. They would have been trading first. Signs of recovery, very strong rebound from yesterday's complete shock to the market. What do you make of those movements?
Yeah, good evening, Jimmy. Great to be back on the show. Yeah, I think the Nikkei reflects the broader sell-off that's been happening across the globe, where the fears of a U.S. recession have really gripped markets. And I think the trigger was last week, in terms of what then affected the Nikkei to have such a significant sell-off, which it has come back from, but not all the way, but it has done well. And I think that roller coaster ride, abated on Sunday, on Monday, after it had, had one of the worst sell-offs in its history. And we also saw how the yen helped that case in terms of strengthening considerably against the US dollar. And the primary driver of all of that sentiment is fears that the US, was or possibly could be heading into a recession.
What do we make of those fears? I mean, obviously, with the conversations we've been having around the U.S., and we've been talking about this for the last couple of months as well, around the U.S. Front running this whole narrative around interest rates and the movements or when we're going to start with interest rate cuts. But if the U.S. economy or if the U.S., the Fed in particular, have gotten it wrong and they do trigger a U.S.-led recession, it's obviously going to trigger a global recession. Where are markets sitting on this?
Yeah, I think that story, has a wider picture in particular because it's also been earnings season in the U.S. And what the earnings picture now is starting to show is that, tech has been the industry that has been, keeping the U.S. economy in as far as the, market is concerned as a barometer elevated. It's really been big tech that is, the big valuations. We've seen your Nvidia's, getting to historic highs, which has pushed your NASDAQ 100 to historic highs as well. So that's been the euphoria that has been in the market. Then comes earnings seasons where, corporates such as your McDonald's miss estimates. And In terms of real earnings, in comparison to the previous data, it's recovered, but it missed the estimate. I think the estimate was 308, and it came out at 297, about there. So that miss now is concerning. And then again, the forecast is that they're expecting that their earnings guidance going into the future is going to be lower. And now that's where, the lower income households are consuming the most. So if you have your corporates like your McDonald's showing, lower earnings and forecasting lower earnings into the future, that's where the concerns of this recession, starts coming in as well. And then the feeling is that the U.S. Fed might have done too much in terms of keeping interest rates elevated for longer than they should. And instead of 25 basis points in September, markets are now calling for a 50 basis point cut from the U.S. Fed. And if they do a 50 basis point cut, it then supports the narrative that they should have cut, this July, and they've left it to September. And so it's a policy misstep that the market starts pricing in as well, along with the fears of around the U.S. recession.
I know some analysts also pricing in or saying that we could potentially see 75 basis points as much as 0.75% from a rate cut from the US's perspective. I want to look at the South African perspective. Does that then mean that if the US has misstepped, we might have a bit of a tailwind to take advantage of there from our own rate cut or our own monetary policy decision making?
Yeah, I think from our own monetary policy decision, we've kept it sound, and the figures do show in terms of the inflation coming down within that band, but not yet quite at that midpoint that the South African Reserve Bank would want it to be. But we are certainly getting there. So in terms of a misstep from there, I don't think so. But in as far as us taking advantage of the situation, I mean, the Reserve Bank always does tell us they make their decisions independently of, you know, other central banks. So there isn't anything in way of an advantage other than if they were to take an advantage in this case, then that will be contrary to that belief that or that statement that they've made, that our policy decisions are always very independent from other central banks. So I think we'll stay the course with regards to what we need to do, probably 25 basis points and gradually reduces as we go into the rest of this year and 2025.
It's certainly an interesting time in the markets. There's a lot happening. Terence, I want to look at some of the developments locally. We got a press release or sort of a SENS announcement of sorts from the Sasfin team around some developments that's happening there. They're getting rid of their African bank holdings, some circa 3.25 billion rands there, as well as the administrative sanctions that were imposed on them by the Prudential Authority of the South African Reserve Bank to the tune of just shy of 210 million rand.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's the point to speak of is that regulatory approval for Sasfin to dispose of their capital equipment, finance and commercial property business, you know, as a going concern to Africa Bank for the 3-odd billion rand figure that you mentioned. So it is good that they're able to still execute this, because I think the regulation is very evident with regards to the missteps that they took as a bank in as far as their foreign currency, foreign exchange business, which is where a lot of their issues, or if not all of their issues, is emanating from, right? And so they need to, they say they've taken legal advice. That figure, you know, in as far as the SARB is concerned, is reduced from about 210 million rand to about 160, because you know, about 49 million of it has been suspended, but there's that lingering tax bill as well, you know, from SARS, that they are appealing that as well. So I think the compliance side of the business is really what's hurting Sasfin at the moment. And I think in as far as dealing with the regulator, it's playing to their tune and getting all the matrices right in as far as that regulation is concerned.
Terence, do you think this will mean that the Sasfin group, I mean, we already heard that there's that announcement that they're looking at delisting, and that conversation's already begun. We got that SENS announcement, I think, about a week or two ago. Do you think the delisting part of it is partly a solution to these headwinds and allows them to deal with these headwinds without it damaging the value of the company?
100%. You're very right on that, Jimmy. And given the circumstances of the issues, I think that's a very strategic decision that they've made. And again, to your point, it gives them time to rectify all of these issues, because the market can be very brutal, you know, with regards to, you know, we've seen it globally, where, you know, short sellers can really get, you know, hold of a stock and, you know, really drive it down. And that will be the last thing, because there's still strong pockets of value in Sasfin, you know, is a going concern. But again, very strategic decision that allows them to deal with the issues, you know, clean up their house, and then probably get back in a few years.
Small correction there from my side. I mentioned that there was disposal of African Bank holdings. No, it was a disposal to African Bank. African Bank is the buyer of this. Thanks for that, Terence. Before I let you go, I want to look at Coronation. They upped their stake in Pepkor, and you just spoke about unlocking pockets of value, and Pepkor's been a very interesting story here as well, ever since we kind of announced the government of national unity, or coalition government, or whatever it is we're calling it at this point. Pepkor has been in favor, and Coronation has increased their stake now up to 5%.
Yeah, I think, you know, stocks such as Pepco, you know, really speak to where the consumer and the retail market is expected to go. And, you know, one can't help to think that the view is that with the government of national unity, there's that stability that's coming in that's going to rectify all the issues that have caused, you know, the slow growth, especially from a retailer perspective. I mean, the retailer has been very constrained. We've had very high in interest rates. So over and above that, I think the outlook in terms of where growth will be, definitely, you know, stocks such as Pepco, as the Reserve Bank starts easing, the consumer starts, you know, getting more sense back in the pocket. And, you know, that growth is what will also be needed to start spurring up productivity within the economy. So yeah, very strategic increase in holding with regards to what the outlook is going into the couple of years.
Very interesting indeed. And just on that note, when we leave, or as we leave the conversation rather, the one of the interesting things about Pepco, it remains their footprint. They are the largest retailer on the African continent with more than 5,800 stores, the largest footprint by store, that is. But we'll leave it at that. Thanks for the insights, Terence. It's Terence Hove, Senior Market Analyst at Xness, on some of the market movements today, some recoveries that we're seeing, as well as what markets might be thinking.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.